The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's action on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:50pm with Sean Quinn, Craig Forsyth and Richie McGrath in the studio. A busy Saturday coming up as well. Six afternoon meetings: Newbury, Ripon, Newmarket, Chester, Doncaster and Perth. The action continues into the evening with Lingfield and Market Raisin domestically, and we've got Tramore over in Ireland as well, so a very busy Saturday to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is William Hill Radio's Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Good, Mark. Yeah, this makes your eyes water, doesn't it? A feat of racing again on Saturday, and they're all very strong cards as well, aren't they?
Yes, the card at Newbury is very good. We're going to look at the feature, well, one of the features there, the Geoffrey Freer Stakes. We've got the William Hill Great St Wilfred at Ripon, and we've got good racing elsewhere as well. Big race at big handicap at Newmarket to get stuck into. So
yeah,
we're going to look ahead to that shortly. Before we do, we'll just have a quick chat about some of the news, Mick. And let's start with Australia, because he's on the drift now. I mean, doubts about whether he'll go to the race at York, and obviously the Dunlop International, and doubts about, well, question marks about who will ride him, because Joseph O'Brien can't do the weight. Ryan Moore's already jocked up, so it looks at the moment like Jamie Heffernan's favourite to get on board. Should he go to York? What do you make of it all, Mick?
Yeah, do you think it's just the jockey booking? Are they worried about the ground going officially good to soft in places yesterday, but the weather's so unsettled at the moment?
Yeah,
you've got to think that there's going to be some soft in the going description by the start of the meeting on Wednesday. So I'm not sure. As you say, it's a slightly worrying thing that he's drifting in the betting. I would think Shamey would be the obvious choice, wouldn't you?
I do, yeah. If it was your decision to make, Mick, say the ground's in his favour, and the only question mark is about whether you let Shamey ride him, rather, and you know you're missing out on Joseph and Ryan, who are the go-to guys in Britain for Ballydoyle, would that come into it for you?
Well, I don't think so. I mean, Shamey will have sat on him plenty of times, won't he, at home, and
stalwart for the yard as well.
Absolutely, and travels well in his races. It's just a question of putting him in the right place and keeping him out of trouble. I don't think that is a major factor, to be honest. I think they're more concerned about giving him a hard race in unsuitably soft ground with his autumn campaign in mind.
Yeah.
I could be wrong about that, but that's how I'd approach it. I don't think the jockey issue is it even worth considering?
No, that's fair enough. I mean, he's a very good rider.
I mean, those guys, Jamie and Como, Johnny, they all ride plenty of Group 1 winners for the stable, don't they? And, you know, he's just another racehorse at the end of the day, isn't he? And they'll ride him plenty of times at home.
Yeah, so no argument there. Is it because they've got one eye on the Irish Champions Stakes, you think, and they'd rather win that and then go to the autumn campaign, well, concentrate on an autumn campaign with him?
Yeah, I think it might well be. I mean, it's a good race in their own right. Of course, they won it last year, didn't they? And it's a race that they do tend to sort of try and mop up these races that they do target. And it'd be great if he was there. I'd like to see him there, and hopefully he will turn up.
Okay. With the betting as it stands, Mick, it's 4-6 for Australia. Telescope is 4-1. 5s for Macadram. Eagle Top 9s. The Grey Gatsby's 10s. 11s for Kingston Hill. And 14-1 or bigger price as the rest. Would it be a time to back, if you fancy something else in the race? Obviously, if you back them now and Australia comes out, you're going to get a better price than what you'll get on the day.
Yeah.
Is there anything in there that stands out to you?
Well, we know Macadram likes the track, don't we? And he might be the angle from a value point of view. I mean, he's still going forward for me, and probably coming back to his best trip, isn't he? In the Judmont.
Yeah.
So I think if you were to twist my arm there, I think Macadram would be the value.
Okay. And if we get any rain, what do you make of Kingston Hill at 11s? Because he likes a bit of cutting the ground, doesn't he?
Yeah. And the weight for age, about 9 or 10 pounds over 10 furlongs, isn't it? Which of course Australia will also get if he turns up, and that could well play into his strengths. And of course, no weight worries for At Zenny, is there?
No. Exactly. Okay, well, we've got that to look forward to.
Plenty of sort of imponderables there, Mark.
Yeah, a few question marks to be sorted out before we get to York next week. We've got a big race coming up on Sunday as well, not in this country, in France, the Jacques Le Marois. Kingman hot favourite for that 4-11, and we've heard bullish comments from the yard throughout the week. Olympic Glory is the one that Team Hannan have chosen to go with, 9-2 second favourite. Esoteric 11s, Anadan is 14-1, 16-1 for Rezina, and 50s for Red Dubari. Freddie Head's talking up the chances of Anadan today, saying that he's going to give it a go against Kingman.
Yeah, it was a good run in Royal Ascot, wasn't it, behind Toronado and Verrazano. Whether it'll have Kingman's connections having sleepless nights, I'm not so sure, but he's talking a good game, isn't he, Freddie, and why not? I mean, it's good that they're prepared to take Kingman on. Mm. The same with Olympic Glory. I'm sure that in the heart of hearts, they'll be hoping that maybe Kingman has a bad journey over and doesn't the same horse doesn't turn up or something like that, which is always a possibility.
A risk, isn't it? Yeah.
Absolutely. So it's great that you know, we've got some good horses taking him on. So yeah, bring it on.
Yeah, and they always say never run from one horse, don't they?
So. Absolutely.
Okay. Would you is 4-11 too short for Kingman though, with all that in mind?
Well, it's not. I mean, 4-11 wouldn't do for me for Pegasus. So it's, from a betting angle, it's immaterial as far as I'm concerned. But okay. There might be some bit of value in there on the without market or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, we'll know better when we see what.
Yeah.
But 4-11. Some people might say, well, it's the biggest buying money of all time. But I see too many of them get beaten on a daily basis for me to play at those sort of odds.
Yeah.
But good luck to anybody who fancies him.
OK. Bit of other news before we move on. Just seen today that Saïd Egrouji's had an operation. He had some chipped bones in his ankles, and they're saying that he'd be OK, and that's the reason they're putting down to his bit of a lacklustre run on his last appearance last season.
Yeah, he wasn't quite himself, was he? And they were putting it down to the end of a hard season. But he did look as though he was feeling something that day, didn't he? And I'm glad that something's come to light. They did right. They had him bone scanned before he went away for his summer break, and I think you know, they were bang on the money there. I think they must have suspected that he wasn't quite the same horse. Don't forget, he's had his share of injuries over the years, and what we saw in most of his season last year was a pain-free horse. I think there was all problems resurfaced by the time we saw him in the last on the last day, and let's hope that he's all systems go when his season starts in November.
Yeah. No major operation, just a couple of keyhole.
That's all. It hardly needs a stitch. The way they do it now, it's such a, you know, such a successful and well, it's the recovery time is fractional now.
Mm. Yeah, they reckon it'll only be about 4 weeks behind. Yeah. So he'll still get the big races next year.
Absolutely.
Anything else standing out to you in the news, Mick?
Good news from coming through from Germany about See the Moon, who. His trainer's really all systems go for the Ark. He's got a wonderful pedigree. I can't believe he didn't sell this horse. He went through the sale ring at 230,000.
Yeah,
as a yearling. I mean, considering he's by the Sea of the Stars, out of a sister to two German Derby winners and a German Oaks.
Yeah.
I mean, what do they want for a quarter of a million?
Exactly. And since then, he's unbeaten, and he's now one of the main players in the Ark.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's great to see him. Great to see him there. I mean, that German Derby winner, if you've never seen it, just YouTube it and just...
Yeah.
And consider what the second horse did to Noble Mission when they met next time.
Yeah.
It was just outstanding. It's an outstanding piece of form. And it'd be great to see him lining up at Longchamp on out day.
Okay, good stuff. Let's move on anyway. Let's look ahead to Saturday. Very busy Saturday coming up. Mick looked at three of the big races for us, and we'll get his thoughts in a moment.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, so we're going to focus on three of the big races, the Geoffrey Freer at Newbury, the Great St Wilfrid at Ripon, and there's a big handicap at Newmarket as well, so we'll look into that. The 2.40 at Newbury is the first of them in chronological order, the Geoffrey Freer Stakes, a Group 3 for three-year-olds and older over a mile and 5 furlongs. And we do have betting on site for this as well. And I can tell you that Peter's Moon is the 9-2 market leader. 5-1 for Red Cadeau. Seal of Approval, 11-2. Willing for sixes with Somewhat. 10-1 for Cafe Society. Camborne is 12s with Girolamo and Rowaki and Seismos. And then 33-1 for Triumphant. So Peter's Moon, Mick, heads the betting. Not always the safest proposition.
Well, I'm obviously looking outside the box here, Mark, because I don't feature too high up in the betting
value. Then
Peter's Moon has the penalty for that Goodwood win, which means he's giving weight to the field. He is wearing blinkers for the first time, but and you know, on official ratings, he's got a first rate chance. But heading the market, as I said, I'm going to look elsewhere. And one of the places I'm looking at is Cafe Society. I think you quoted him at 10-1, didn't you, Mark?
I'll just double check. Cafe Society 10s, yeah.
He's been a solid improver, this horse, over the last 12 months, graduating from handicaps this year to running very creditably, doing his best work late on in the Wolferton at Royal Ascot and the Glorious Stakes at Goodwood last time, giving, for me, too much to do. Crowley rode him both times. He rides him again on Saturday. I think he'll have him closer to the pace, and I think the extra distance, an extra furlong and a half, will suit Cafe Society, and he's certainly going to outrun his price of 10-1. That's for sure. And I'd be inclined at those odds to make him my each-way selection for the race. I also like Girolamo, ridden by Eddie DeVries. Peter Jürgen trains in Germany. No penalty, Mark, for last year's Group 2 win. Yet Peter's Moon's got his penalty for this year's Group 3 win.
Yeah.
So Girolamo's a good horse. Looks as though he's running into form as well. And he's a danger to all in these ground conditions. Currently soft as we record this at Newbury. So any more rain that falls will suit Girolamo. And don't forget, he did win he's a Group 1 winner in Cologne as a three-year-old, and of course he dropped that penalty as well.
Yeah.
So he's a Group 1 winner without a penalty in a Group 3, which normally is manna from heaven for me.
Yeah.
So he's, what price did you say he was?
Girolamo was another one at decent odds. He's 12-1.
Well, I'd certainly have him on my side each way. And the other one I like in the race is the only three-year-old in the lineup, and that's Somewhat, who performed with great credit against his elders in the Eclipse, finishing a respectable, well, more than respectable, it was a brilliant third behind Mukadram. And he finished a close third in the Gordon Stakes at Goodwood behind Snow Sky. I mean, that form's strong.
Yeah.
And I think we'll get stronger as the season goes on. And he looks just the sort of horse to make the most of his £11 weight for age that he receives from his elders, as he did in the Eclipse, Mark. So, yeah. You know, I think those three, what sort of prices? Somewhat, have we got him up?
Yes, yeah, Somewhat is 6-1.
I think you could nearly, you know, mix and match a few of those, maybe betting without, place only, each way, whichever way you want to play it. But Cafe Society, Girolamo, and Somewhat, for me, will all outrun their prices.
Okay, good stuff. A few against the field then, that nice each-way prices in the Geoffrey Freer. We move over to Newmarket next for their 2.55, and this is a three-year-old handicap, a Class 2 three-year-old handicap over 6 furlongs, 13 of them in the lineup, and competitive stuff this, Mick.
Great race this. Eastern Impact's the obvious starting point for me. Trained by Richard Fahey, he's performed with great credit in all of the top three-year-old handicaps this year, that Newmarket Class 2, then the York Class 2, and then the last day, the Newmarket Class 2 again. And don't forget, he's also got some form with cutting the ground. He finished a close third behind Rizina as a two-year-old in the National Stakes. So, although quite a few of those runs have all been on probably faster ground than he'll encounter. Although it can dry out quickly, can't it, on the July course. But all I'm trying to say is that it doesn't really matter what the ground does. He'll make an impact, Eastern Impact, no pun intended. But what I do like about it is that Richard's put Jack Garrity up to claim the five, and young Jack looking ever more accomplished in the saddle. I could have just done with going up that £4 for finishing second in that good trial for this at Newmarket last month. hence the claim, I think. So it's sort of back to levels, if you like.
Yep.
And I'm going to give him the vote because he's proven in this grade and he's holding his form well. Looks as though he's been busy, but this is only his sixth seasonal start. So he could, you know, still be on the up, this horse. So Eastern Impact gets the vote. I do like Susie's Connoisseur as a horse. It used to be very useful when trained by Mark Johnson last year. They tried him in the Britannia. That didn't work. Just didn't quite see out the seven. But much happier back over his favourite trip the last twice. And that third over course and distance when he finished just behind Eastern Impact was a further step back in the right directions. And he's got first-time cheap pieces to help. Much happier, as I say, back to his best trip the last twice. Still £7 higher than the last win. But this boy, Garbutt's ridden him two or three times, knows him well. Not that the claim's going to make that much difference, because it didn't when he's ridden him before, but at least he knows him,
yep.
And every little helps. And he has been running in the right races for this.
Okay.
So he's another player, each way, a nice each way price probably. And I can't leave the race without mentioning Boy in the Bar from the David Barron yard. Rob Winston taking the ride. Still very much on the... upgrade this horse, unexposed as a sprinter, still lightly raised. He is moving up into class two, and that's why he's not getting the vote. But his rating has improved over a stone already this year, and he's got soft ground winning form as well. And he's definitely a horse going forward with a definite chance. Boy in the Bar. So there were my three against the field. Again, I'm going to give the vote to Eastern Impact, but there's little to choose between them. Susie's Connoisseur and Boy in the Bar. I'm confident that all three will be involved in the finish.
OK. Moving on to Ripon next then for their 3.30. And their big race is the William Hill Great St Wilfrid Handicap, a Class 2 handicap for three-year-olds and older, over six furlongs. We have betting on site for this one. And Kimberella is the 8-1 market leader. 8-1 the field just shows how competitive it is. 9-1 for Piper's Note. Spinatrix is 9s as well. Another Wise Kid and Tati Slew are both 10s. 11s for Fairway to Heaven and Outdo. Bond Desire 16-1 with Clear Spring, Colonel Mack, Fast Shot and Shropshire, and then 20-1 or bigger prices. The rest, who do you side with here, Mick?
Yeah, I've got a few to have a word about here. I'll go through them in race card order. That might keep things simpler. The first one I want to speak about is Captain Ramius. So it's trained by Kevin Ryan, Neil Callan in the saddle. He finished mid-div in this 12 months ago, Captain Ramius, but that was off a mark of 107. And he's running today off a £6 lighter. And he wasn't beaten far over this course and distance, which suggests that in off a £4 high mark in April, which suggests two things, that this mark is not beyond him and that the course doesn't hold any terrors for him. And the key thing with him, though, is if the heavens open between now and 3.30 tomorrow, the harder it rains, the better his chance will be.
Yep.
He's drawn three, so he's on a wing. You want to be on a wing at Ripon, one side or the other. I don't think you want to be racing up the middle. So he's a horse who's going to go off at a fancy price, but he's a class act on his day, and the harder it rains, the better. Keep an eye on the weather for Captain Ramius. Bond Desire, the admirable Bond Desire, the daughter of Miss Sue Bond. David O'Meara trains, Group 3 winner in Ireland yesterday. His horses continue to hold the form very well. She's a very reliable filly. She's won a couple already this year. Excellent fourth at Ascot last time. And over this course and distance, she's been second, one, third, one, second. Slightly disconcerting Danny Tudup's jump ship to Outdo, but Sam James is taking the ride. Sam can claim three, and Sam is one from one on her, which is no bad thing.
Nope.
So she goes on any ground, loves it here. Again, sure to be there or thereabouts. Slight concern is she is drawn 11 in the middle, so Sam will have to make his mind up which way he wants to go. Fairway to Heaven is an interesting runner. Back to form last time with an impressive win at Windsor. Went up £7 for that, but was very impressive visually at Windsor. This is a lot tougher, but the harder they go up front, the better it'll suit Fairway to Heaven, who will be doing his best work later on. Jack Mitchell riding for Mike Wigham. Kimberella, the favourite we've spoken about. Well, we haven't spoken about, you mentioned him in the betting. Used to be trained by Michael Atwater. One from one over course and distance, Kimberella. trained by David Nicholls, who won this in 2005 and 2008. Up seven for that Chester win, but a definite player. And that run at York last time, it says seventh, but he was seventh of 19, beaten by a large blanket, if you like. And that's very strong form and a definite player. Again, he's drawn 18, so he's got a wing to run against.
Yep.
The aforementioned outdo, Danny Tudup rides this for O'Mara. Could have ridden Bondi's Eye, presumably. He struggled in the 90s since going up £10 for his Yarmouth win in 2013. I think he was trained by another trainer then, if memory serves me. But he's performed very well.
Yeah, Luca Comani.
That's right, yes, Luca Comani. He's performed very well in good company. He arrives here on the back of a very good course and distance effort last time. His first ever run here. And this is the first time that they've put the visor on him. And I think that's apparently convinced Danny Tudup to ride him instead of stable companion and course specialist Bon Desire. So that's a difficult call there for the two O'Mara horses. My advice would be to Dutch them. And the other one I can't leave without mentioning is Tatlisu, represents last year's winning trainer Richard Fahey. Went up £4 for finishing third of 18 behind Barnett Fair in that Goodwood Stewards Cup consolation race, which takes him into the 90s for the first time. But he's a model of consistency. Excellent jockey booking. Richard's taken the trouble to bring Declan McDonough over from Ireland. Comes here in great form from a stable who are holding their form remarkably well. Won this last year. Slight concern is he's yet to perform here in two starts. Both sort of below par runs. Whether that's coincidental, and he's obviously in much better form now. Wouldn't definitely rule Tetlitz out by any means. It's a tough one. I've got 1, 2, 3, 6 on the shortlist, Mark. I'd certainly want Bon Desire on side. If the heavens opened, Captain Ramius would have to make it to the shortlist. Dandy, I know, is very sweet on Kimberella's chances. And, well, you can't leave out Tetley. So it's difficult to nail down the shortlist. I'd certainly have Bon Desire with a great record at the track. And the fact that O'Mara prefers outdo to her suggest he has to go on as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wouldn't be the worst thing to put both O'Meara horses.
Well, if one wins and you've left it alone, yeah. There's nothing worse, is there?
And then Arthur win this race, won it twice with Pepper Lane, didn't he?
Absolutely.
2011, 2012.
Yeah.
Okay, good stuff. Plenty of runners there, plenty of races to come on Saturday.
And hopefully a bit of value in our races as well.
Yeah.
All three of them should be good betting heats and. Well, good luck with whatever you fancy in them, even if you go a completely different road to me. I mean, these are the races you could talk about for 2 hours,
right? Yeah, exactly.
Not even draw breath.
Let's just have a quick summary then, Mick. Let's put it all together. What are you going with on Saturday?
Well, I think my three against the field in the Geoffrey Freer, the Newbury 240, the main one is Cafe Society, who I think is ridiculously overpriced at 10-1. Don't rule out the German raider Girolamo either, and the three-year-old somewhat back against his elders, which he performed with credit in Group 1 company. Don't forget, this is Group 3. All three of them will outrun the prices, I'm sure.
Yeah.
They can't all win, I know, but what can you do? And in this cracking sprint handicap at Newmarket, Eastern Impact's been running in all the best three-year-old sprint handicaps around, and Richard Fahey's wisely booked Jack Geraghty, his stable apprentice now, to take off 5. I think that might shade it for him. And I'm going to Dutch the O'Mara pair in the St. Wilfred, the race I won as a trainer a few years ago with Umbelata. Bon Desire and outdo, but I may well have left the winner off the shortlist, never mind the final picks.
Good stuff, competitive stuff. Thank you very much, Mick. Enjoy on Saturday.
I will do, Mark. Pleasure.
So there you go, the thoughts of Mick Norton on Saturday's racing. Plenty to come here on Racing Radio. It'll all be live from 12:50pm with Sean Quinn, Craig Forsyth and Richie McGrath in the studio. We have the good card at Newbury with the Geoffrey Freer and the Hungerford on their card. We have Great St Wilfred Day at Ripon. There's Newmarket, Chester, Doncaster and Perth alongside that on Saturday afternoon. Lingfield and Market Racing will be the domestic action in the evening, and there's Irish Racing from Tramore as well to boot. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.